by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. Matthew the Evangelist records these words for us. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. In the name of Jesus, amen. Joseph was a just man. That is not to say that he was a man without sin. But it is to say that he is a faithful man and that he is a respectable man. That he loved God and that he hoped in God. That he believed in the Holy Scriptures and he observed the commandments of God. He went to church. He dutifully applied himself to his vocations, whatever they might have been, though we know carpentry was one of them. In all of this, you see, we can say that he is the kind of man that you and I want our sons to grow up to be. He is also the kind of man you want your daughters to marry. For Joseph, you see, teaches us what it means to be a Christian man. And this is, as you well know, particularly needed in our day and time and era. That we have biblical examples of Christian men. And not only Christian men, but also Christian women and Christian families and Christian marriages. I mean, we need them all. For those whose lives serve as a witness and a model that shapes and governs and guides our own behavior as we live and we abide in our respective roles that God has given to us. But not just as examples, so that we end up swinging from these two extreme poles of success. See, I'm doing all that I should be doing, or abject failure. See, I can't ever do it, so I'm not going to ever try. No. But that we live in the balance of receiving and giving the mercy and the grace of God. That we live by the mercy and the grace of God. That is to say that we recognize that we are all on the way here, and that none of us has arrived at some sort of harbor of perfection. And so we need godly men and godly women and godly marriages and godly families. Those who live justly and righteously, who cover the sins of each other, who have short memories and who bear with each other in the dark and difficult days. And I believe that we have such an example here with the life of Joseph, a just man and a righteous man. For consider how he cares for his betrothed Mary. When he thinks, for obvious reasons, that Mary has been unfaithful, still his concern is to protect her. Notice that he intensely thinks about this. That he's not acting hastily or irrationally or with a scornful heart. No. He ponders these things. He's patient. He's kind. He's trying to find a righteous way out. He's contemplating what he ought to do and what wisdom, the wisdom of God, would dictate. And so, his righteousness is not only found in his respect for the law, for the sixth commandment, for the sanctity of the marriage bed, but also, even more deeply, for his compassion for Mary. He knows that the letter of the law would have her not only divorced and sent away, but even stoned to death, as a public spectacle and a harsh example to everyone around them. But while Joseph honors the command, he even more honors the heart and the gospel of God, which does not punish, but desires to spare the sinner. Fair to say that I'm learning that sometimes in life, the problem is bigger than we think, but also the solution is smaller than we think. Fair to say that each of us come to the house of God with a lot of problems, with a lot of burdens. And they are similar and yet different for each of us. Some of us here fight physical pain. Some of us here fight emotional and mental pain. Some of us fight both. Some of us are glued to the TV and the newsreel and wonder, how on earth can our world keep going like this? Some of us have struggles in our family and relatives that are not speaking to each other, or conflicts between husbands and wives, or children that are not getting along. Some of us have children who have left the faith altogether, or grandchildren who are not baptized. And the list goes on and on and on. And there's just sort of this whole heap and mountain of problems. And so what happens today, in the midst of these daunting mountain of problems and sin and brokenness, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, and he says what? Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And here we learn a very valuable lesson. We learn here that the Word of God, the promises of God, are always the solution to the mountain of problems and iniquities and brokenness that we face. After all, we believe, teach, and confess that the Word of the Lord is a word of wisdom, and it's a word of instruction, and it's a word of forgiveness, and it's a word of grace, and it's a word of new life. You see, only in and by the Word of God is Joseph not afraid to take Mary as his wife, that he does not divorce her quietly. Only by the Word of God does he take her into his protection and under the umbrella of his providence, as his own rib, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. And notice, not only her, but also the child. He will be under Joseph's protection and guardianship as his own dear son. And in this way, as you can well surmise, he serves as a great example of an adoptive father who understands that while his relationship to the child is not biological in any way, that in no way diminishes his responsibility nor his desire to provide and protect this child. And not only, but in taking Mary as his wife and the child as his son, Joseph is accepting all the attendant sacrifices that will be required of him. And so we can say that without question, Joseph's life is challenging and difficult, probably embarrassing and frustrating in ways that we can only hardly imagine. Because, you know, he allows the shame of Mary's pregnancy to rest upon himself. He shelters and he protects her from ridicule and danger. And indeed, this is what the just man does. The righteous man does. The Christian man does. He will accept the sacrifices and the crosses involved in being a husband and a father. So it is that we see in Holy Scripture how Joseph cares for Mary and her unborn child. He cares for them through this long and arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. He cares for them in Bethlehem, surrounded by unsuspecting beasts and amazed shepherds in Bethlehem. He's there to attend to her every physical need when she finally delivers the Holy Child of God. And then, as the spiritual head of the house, he has the child circumcised on the eighth day, naming him Jesus, as the angel had instructed him. And then he brings the child and its mother to the temple for the rites of redemption and purification. In this way, in short, this is to show us that he leads his young family in the holy faith of Israel. He provides a home for them, a place where they will finally receive sage wise men who come from afar to worship this infant king. And then, warned in a dream by an earthly murderous king, we know King Herod, he protects the holy child and he whisks Mary and the boy to Egypt. And then when all the danger passes, he gives the family a stable home in Nazareth. And certainly we can picture him treading up the little Jesus in the way that he should go in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And undoubtedly he teaches the boy his trades of carpentry. And we know that he leads his family to Jerusalem for the Old Testament feasts. And then we know on one occasion when Jesus is lost, he goes back to the city and he turns it upside down looking for his dear son. Now until, of course, he finds Jesus right where he's supposed to be, that is in the temple among his father's business, that is hearing and teaching the word of God. This is, dear friends, this is all to say simply this. Joseph is a just man. He's a good husband and a good father. He lives by the mercy of God, and he extends that same mercy to those under his care. So we can say, Christian men, be like him. And Christian women, marry a man like him. Husbands and fathers, do what he does. Wives and mothers, do as Mary does and receive the Christian headship of your husband. And to those who are single or those who are widowed or those having suffered the quiet or not so quiet tragedy of divorce, there's nothing here that you can't also model in your own context as you seek to live faithfully redeemed by Christ, the son of Mary, yet Joseph's adoptive son. And now notice, Joseph disappears from the gospel narrative. He just sort of fades away. We know presumably he died, before Jesus was crucified, because he wasn't there with Mary. So he just fades away. And even more, and I think this is astounding, is something that might teach us something, is that not a single word from Joseph's mouth is recorded in the Holy Scriptures. And perhaps this is also teaching us something, that it was never about him, ever, nor was it really even about Mary, but it was always and still is about Jesus. Joseph's whole life, the protection, the care, the providence, or providing for his family, his faithful sacrifices, his obedience to the word of God, all of it was about providing God's gift of Jesus to the world, to you and to me. So yeah, sometimes in life, the problem is bigger than we think. But think that the solution is also smaller than we often think. Yes, the problems of life often, at times, if not always, seem beyond figuring out and too heavy to handle and too hard to bear. And in those moments when the crushing weight of an unbearable decision must be made or the pieces of a shattered life must be picked up, we remember this. The child is not conceived in sin, but for the bearing of it. And this we know only by the word of God, that his name is Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins, that his name is Emmanuel, and that he is God with us and not against us, that he is God for us and not far from us. Yes, God shows Joseph a baby. He shows you and me a baby. And he says to us, look, here's my solution for your sin and your death and your pain and your regrets and your broken life and your broken world and all of it. Yes, the solution is more than we ever thought. What would you say about 7 pounds, 6 ounces, right? This is what Christmas is all about, Joseph. And you too, Charlie Brown, who has a disaster for a tree. And also you, dear Christians. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Yeah, the solution is far smaller than we ever imagined. For God so willed that the hope and the life of the world not only laid in the miracle of a virgin conceiving and giving birth to a son, but also in a righteous man taking his wife as his own and her son as his own as well. And in this way, he maybe teaches us the most invaluable lesson, that this is exactly what Christ, our bridegroom, does for us. And this is to say that the just man is only just because he is justified. And the righteous man is only righteous because he has been gifted righteousness. So it is that then God takes us as his own, adopts us as his own, not by blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of himself, of God. And so we are born of water and spirit. We are born of his shed blood. We are born of his sacrificial and life-giving flesh. You bear his name as Christians because he is with you and he is for you. Indeed, do not be afraid to eat and drink at his table as a member of his body. For he is here not to punish you or to put you to death, or certainly not to divorce you quietly, but to love you and to give himself for you. For in a similar yet far greater way than his guardian Joseph, he is just and he is righteous to forgive you all your sins and to make all things new. God be praised, and in the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until eternal life. Amen.